delivered to you every morning and ready to be devoured on demand. When and where you like, it's the Harry and Dana podcast.
Ever since the borders reopened from Victoria to New South Wales, it has been my parents' plan to come up and, one, visit me, but mainly to drop off my car. So yesterday morning was the big day. My parents packed the cars and one parent driving one car, the other, because then they can drop my car off and still head home. And so I get a text message at 6 a.m. yesterday morning. We're on the road. We're ready to go. All packed. And I thought they were leaving. And then after the show yesterday at about 9:30, I get and I can always know when my mum's on the phone. I always know if something's up because you can just hear it in her voice. And so I get this call and she's like, I was like, what's happened? Yeah. We've had a car accident. What's happened? She's like, oh, well, we've had a bit of a hiccup with your car. It's broken down.
Oh, no.
And I'm, by this point, they messaged me that they were leaving at 6. So by this point, I think that they're 3.5 hours up the road. They weren't. It was okay. They're only 45 minutes out of town. But before I left, my car was having issues in that, like, the ignition wouldn't start, but only sometimes. So like me, it was very temperamental.
Okay. Yeah, so, I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
So they did leave again. My brother and my dad like found the electrical part that maybe was being the issue and they replaced it and they headed off yesterday afternoon all chuffed. So I got that call saying, oh, we're coming now. Cause I thought that I cancelled lunch plans today. I'd booked somewhere. That's no longer happening. So now they are on the road, but I don't trust my car, to be honest, because
it's your car. You know it.
I know it quite well, and I know what it can be like. And if they end up like stuck in Gundagai because of me and my awful car,
yeah,
what have I done? I've stranded my, and it's going to be 43 degrees. I can't even imagine what like I'm going to get like an earful tomorrow.
Yeah. Because it's your, like, basically it's your fault that your car.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to cop it. How old are you? 26 years old? You're going to get grounded by your parents.
I'm terrified.
You're going to get grounded by your parents.
We have a lot of condiments in our fridge at home. And so yesterday I did a bit of a big grocery shop with my parents coming up. And I needed to move things around, some like play Tetris with the fridge to be able to fit things in the fridge. And I realised something that my flatmates do that I don't do that I thought that's really weird. And I don't know if it's a state-by-state thing or what because I grew up in Victoria, but I moved the sauce bottle out of the fridge. We have never, ever put sauce in the fridge. I don't understand. There are that many preservatives in that thing that I think that it can stay in the cupboard and always stay in the cupboard.
Right. Okay. Well, I put mine in the fridge.
But why?
Well, it says on the back of the bottle, refrigerate after opening. I'm just following the instructions.
Read that.
Because that's what it says. I don't know. Maybe it could be a state-by-state thing. I grew up in New South Wales. We've always kept our sauces in the fridge. That's just what we've done. Barbecue sauce, tomato sauce, mustard goes in the fridge.
If it's mustard, like granules of grains of mustard, yeah, but not like,
oh, like
the
a bottle
yellow
of
American mustard.
Yeah, a bottle of mild American mustard, like
okay, no.
Master Foods.
But why does it need to go in the fridge? It doesn't need to be kept cold. Plus, if you want cold sauce on a hot sausage, what are you doing?
Oh, it's lovely. It just seems fresher. Like it seems
fresh
fresher.
Fresh tomato sauce, are you saying that?
Fresh tomato sauce, if you leave it in the fridge, it's great.
But I put a poll. I was very curious about this, so I put a poll up.
Of course you did.
On our Instagram, 98.1 Power FM. If you want to weigh in too, where do you put your sauce? 654-11-981. I'm so surprised by this. Maybe it is a state-by-state thing because people have said, 45% of people said they put it in the pantry.
45%?
Yeah, and 55% say they put it in the fridge.
Yeah, there you go.
Which confuses me.
Oh, here we go. Like, No. I know where this is going. Dana can't be wrong.
No. I appreciate people are allowed their own opinions. So then I took it a step further and I also put a poll up. Does the location change depending on whether the bottle is already opened or not?
Okay.
So like if it's open, the unsealed.
You're getting very specific now.
Yeah, and 53% of people said that doesn't change. Whether it's sealed or unsealed, it'll go in the fridge.
Yeah, fridge is the way to go.
Oh.
Welcome to the fold, Dana, and enjoy from now on fresh condiments on your hot meals.
We have too many condiments in the fridge. I need to do something about it.
know, I'm 34 years old, Dana.
Yes, you're a big boy with big boy pants on.
And you would think that I would know at this point in my life how to just operate and live in a house on my own, but I don't think I can.
Why? What's happened now?
Well, my landlady's away, and I realise while she's away how much she does around the house and how much of a solid rock she is around the house, because I just cannot be trusted.
What did you do?
Oh, first of all, I come home yesterday and the alarm's on. So I come through the garage. So I lifted up the garage door, came through, opened up the door, the alarm goes off. Like, and it, I don't know if you've been in a house before.
Yeah, it screeches.
It screeches. Not just like the beeping when it's about to go off, when it actually goes off.
And it's embarrassing because it's like, oh, your neighbours are definitely know something's up at your house.
Well, this is what happened. So the code for the alarm is in my phone because I can never remember it. So it's in my phone, and I'd been at the supermarket beforehand. So I'd put my phone in the supermarket bag. Like, I just threw my wallet and my keys and my phone
in the
supermarket bag. So it's in the bottom of the bag. I'm going through all this bacon and bread rolls.
Whenever we talk about what food you eat, you go bacon first.
Always bacon. So I eventually get my phone out. The alarm has been going off for about a minute and a half at this point. My ears are bleeding. I put in the alarm code. I hadn't even closed the garage door, so I went back outside to close the garage door, and the neighbours are on the driveway.
Oh, like, that's a shame for you, isn't it?
Yeah, just peering in. And I'm
peeping,
like,
Toms.
Oh, and I was like, it's all right. Like, I live here. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I won't go off again, I promise. Anyway, I come back inside. I settle in. What I like to do is I like to sit out the back. We've got like quite a nice kind of backyard area. And I like to sit out the back with my laptop and do a bit of work and listen to music and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sitting out there. And the sprinklers go off, but they're not sprinklers in the garden.
Is this a separate incident?
This is a separate incident. This is another incident that occurred yesterday. The landlady has got it's like a misting system that's set up.
Like in one of those butterfly cages at the zoo.
Correct. And so the misting system is set up around the outdoor area, not in the garden. So it's to cool you while you're in the outdoor area. But I'm set up there with my laptop. with an electrical appliance. So I'm getting wet at this point. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I grab my laptop, go inside, sit down inside. It's hot. And I'm like, oh, I've got to work out how to turn on the air conditioning. Turn on the air conditioning. Eventually bedtime rolls around, which is for you and I is about 7:30 at night.
I know. Tragic.
We're up so early. I'd forgotten to turn the air conditioning off.
But aren't you allowed to leave it on because she's not home?
Yeah, but at about 1:30 this morning, I wake up because I put the fan on too. I wake up shivering in bed.
You're like a 5-year-old. Like you need to be babied.
No, I just need my landlady.
She's not even your mum. Like,
I know.
The Big Three.
Barabba Hunters Toyota Specialist for 30 years. Singleton Toyota.
We're joined every morning in the studio with our favourite journalist in the whole world. Happy Friday to Jessica Rouse from the newsroom.
Happy Friday.
Jessica Rouse from the newsroom, how are you?
I'm good because it's Friday.
Hell yeah.
Now, what are you doing this weekend? You've got plans.
Yeah, my parents are coming up because it's Dad's birthday this weekend.
Oh, Dana's parents are up too.
We could have a little... Is that a double date?
Yeah, a double date, yeah.
Is that what you call it? A parent double?
A parent double. That's the lamest thing ever.
That's so lame.
Get all the parents, get all the oldies together. They'd love that. Wouldn't they?
If my parents are listening, you've just called them oldies, and when you meet them today, they'll be horrified at you.
Whoops. I'll be grounded by Dana's parents. Let's talk about the Big Three, the biggest three stories going around this morning. There's going to be a brand new fire station for Muswellbrook. This is great news.
Yeah, this is awesome. So this is for Fire and Rescue New South Wales. Their old fire station on Market Street has been there for 40 years, and this new fire station's literally 150 metres down the road on the old Repco site, and it's going to have 3 engine bays, $3.1 million worth of construction, technology, amenities, all sorts of stuff. So it's awesome. It's going to start construction next year and be done by 2022.
Great.
Wow.
It's a great upgrade to facilities. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. It's awesome.
Something that we need in the Hunter for sure.
Yes.
Let's talk about this ongoing saga with Afghanistan and the inquiry. 10 Special Forces soldiers have been stood down.
Yes, this was confirmed overnight that they've all received notices from the Department of Defence, as you said, after the fallout of this war crimes inquiry, which is really quite chilling. Last week, the Brereton report found there is credible information that Australian Special Forces soldiers killed 39 civilians or prisoners in the Afghanistan war. But in a statement released by Defence last night, they confirmed that none of the soldiers dismissed were among the 19 the report found should be referred to the AFP, which is quite interesting. So we know there were possibly going to be some criminal investigations over these 19 soldiers. It's quite an interesting development.
Interesting.
In that sense.
Let's chat about the heat wave. So, what's going on with this?
Well,
you're already looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah, you can tell. Yeah. So there's two slow-moving low-pressure troughs that are making their way across southern and eastern Australia, bringing a whole lot of hot air with it. So tomorrow's not going to be too bad. Sunday is going to be really bad. 43 is what we're expecting in the
43.
Upper Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Broken Hill tomorrow is going to be the hottest place in the state, 44 degrees, and that breaks the record for the hottest day in November for Broken Hill.
We're talking... It's not even actually summer yet.
I mean...
Like, technically.
What do you do on a 43-degree day?
Sit in the air conditioning.
Yeah.
It's even too hot to go to the beach. Like, you'll melt. The sand will burn.
Yeah, your sand will burn your feet, yeah. So can we expect... Is this going to be... We're talking about the brand new fire station for Muswellbrook. Are they going to be busy during this heat wave? Or?
Well, the Rural Fire Service has put together some strike force teams, do have aircraft on standby, particularly for Sunday, just in case, because there is some wind coming with that heat as well, which is a terrible combination. So we could see total fire bans for our region for Sunday as well. But we will, of course, let you know as soon as we hear that.
Thank you, Jessica Rassman, Newsroom. That's your Big Three. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And we're joined by league legend Jamie Soward. What are you up to, Jamie? You on holidays, are you?
Yeah, on a little bit of holidays this week, but nothing stops my call into you guys to wrap up the sport. I'm at Port Macquarie.
Beautiful. Oh, a beach weekend.
It's beautiful here. It's absolutely beautiful.
Lovely. Well, chat to us about this draw. It's been out for 2021. There's some regional games. What's the importance of taking it back to some of these grassroots areas? Does it mean a lot for the game?
It certainly does. I grew up in Wagga, and having the NRL team come down there was a city-country clash played down there when I was growing up was really important. And what it does now is it gives back to the fans that made the trip down to games this year when we're allowed to have crowds there and just let them enjoy hosting people in their towns. I mean, right now I'm in Port Macquarie. They had the trial match last year between the Raiders and the Bulldogs, and they were able to get down there and experience some top-class rugby league. So I think it's really important. The players love it. They go into the community and get their chance to give back and then get the game on the weekend. It's a really good event, and I love that the NRL is taking games back to the bush.
Do you feel like it brings people together as well and we'll get new fans on board?
100%. Everyone comes to that central location. So I think the Dragons have played their last couple of trial games up in Mudgee and people come to spend the whole weekend. So whilst it's important for the players and to give back to the community, it's also important for that community to get some money in there and some revenue as well. So I think the NRL, by taking games back now, is sort of saying thank you to those people that supported the NRL this year.
Completely, yeah.
Let's chat about State of Origin. They admitted this week that it was a bit of a fail having it at the end of the season. You're obviously a former player. You know what it's like to put in the training. You know what it's like to play a normal season. Are you happy to see it back in the middle of the season, or would you rather keep it at the end?
Nah, I'd love to see it. I'm so happy that it's back into the middle part of the season. I think the next step now will be just to have it on its own for 3 weeks. It was a success over 3 weeks, I thought. It was a real good base, just going bang, 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 and the series is done rather than spreading it out. And then you don't get the lopsided results when players can't play for their team in the NRL. So I'd be expecting Peter Volandis, possibly, maybe not next year, but the year after, to have just a three-week block. The NRL pauses for 3 weeks. You're allowed to get over your niggling injuries, maybe get a surgery if you need it, and then get ready for that charge into the finals. But I love it in the middle of the year.
Good to know, actually, for next year. But the preseason has now started. You've been there and you've done that. You know what the work you have to put in. How much work do you actually have to put in to be able to end up at the end with that premiership?
Well, I don't know if you guys have seen me now, but I haven't been anywhere near a preseason for a very long time. It is one of the most toughest, mentally draining experiences, and you've got to put in the work. You know that, but right now, you've got 300 players soon to be back that aren't going to be tackling each other or other teams and playing for points for another couple of months. So it's a lot of running, it's a lot of recovery, it's a lot of looking after your body. But it's certainly that lead up to Christmas, that sort of 8 weeks or 6 weeks leading up into Christmas is really, really tough. So I went down to Dragons last week, saw some big boys running, and gladly and happily retired, and went and had McDonald's to celebrate.
Nice.
Yeah, speaking of that, does that mean these guys can't eat like a full Christmas feast coming up to Christmas because they're on pre-season diets?
Well, they'll have 2 weeks off, but they have targets they have to meet when they get back, so skin folds and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh.
So, like I said, I'm very, very, very happy in retirement where I can just go and have a beer and relax, so don't worry about that.
What's on the schedule for the rest of the day, Jamie?
Not much, just spending some time with my little girls, just running around, just making sure that they're looked after. As you know, with kids, it's one of the best things in the world, but it's all catered to them, so
yeah,
not much
spare
time for me.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise.
No worries. See you next week.
Oh, namaste.
This is the end of the week, my thought of the week. Harry, I think you'll like this one today because it involves food.
Oh, I'm listening. Usually I tune out, but I am listening.
Well, we have chickens in our backyard, so I boiled up some eggs, hard-boiled some eggs last night, and I thought to myself, how bloody good are eggs?
I'm hearing you.
Like, it's kind of like when you boil it, it's like nature's muesli bar.
It's what?
Hear me out. Because it's like a little pocket of energy you don't have to wrap it in any extra plastics, and it's hard boiled and you can take that hiking, give yourself a bit of a boost of energy.
Yeah.
I think the slogan for Australian eggs should be changed to eggs, nature's muesli bar.
Don't know if that's going to take off, Dana. Also, you and I eat eggs very differently. I cook them at home. I fry them up with bacon and put them on a nice bit of toast. You boil yours and take yours hiking.
Put them in my pockets.
Very different.
It's the Harry and Dana podcast. Stay up to date on everything Hunter Valley on our socials at 98.1 Power FM or at 98.1powerfm.com.au.